Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
By the Zone, 8:19 the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Time for one of our favorite parts of every week. That's when we visit with our guy, Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com. Brent, what's happening this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all?
We are good. Let's talk baseball real quick. The Tennessee season came to an end against North Carolina Sunday, but overall, do you look at it and say, man, this is a pretty nice, successful year with Tony Vitello, you know, a team that at least got back to the tournament, won a game or two?
No question. They were picked to finish, you know, near the bottom, almost the bottom of the SEC. They accomplished a lot of things they had not accomplished in a long time. 40 wins, get back to regional play for the first time in over 10 years, and get back to the SEC tournament. Now, they didn't play well in the postseason, and maybe the moment was too big for them, and they weren't quite ready for that. You got to learn to crawl before you walk in some ways, but I think the culture that Vitello is establishing, I think the kind of the moxie they play with, little edge that this team played with, is his personality rubbing off on them. And I think they've got a plan and are going in the right direction. This recruiting class he's brought in or is bringing in is pretty highly acclaimed, and we'll see how they pan out. They need some guys to hit, particularly on the pitching front for next year. So. But I do like the direction that they're moving, and I think Tony Vitello has done a good job, and I think he's going to get rewarded for it with a new contract. And, I think there's a lot of positive Tennessee baseball right now.
Interesting that three Vol greats were on the list for the College Football Hall of Fame, the ballot for the Hall of Fame for this year. Will Al Wilson make it, if not this year, at some point?
He should. He's one of the best I ever covered. You know, I get tickled that, you know, people talk about, you know, his leadership and, you know, Tennessee meant the world to him, and Tennessee did mean the world to him. But Al Wilson would have been a great player anywhere he played the game of football. And he's one of the best competitors I've ever covered and I've ever been around. And, he would do whatever was asked. I mean, if they gave him the rock, he'd have carried it 12 times a game for him if they needed him to. And, some guys are just football players, and he was just a football player. I enjoyed immensely covering him and enjoyed watching him play, because you knew every time that he put on pads that went out and play, you were going to get his absolute best. Even if he wasn't 100% healthy, he was going to give you everything he had, and everyone around him was going to do the same, in large part out of fear, because they didn't want to let him down. And he just carried that presence about him. One of the best guys I've ever covered, and one of the best football players I've ever dealt with.
What's going on with recruiting this time of year with visits and so forth taking place?
Well, it's interesting. June has become such a different month than it was really 5 years ago with the NCAA rule changes for the early signing date in December and opening up official visits earlier than we ever have seen before. Tennessee will bring in probably somewhere between 6 and 10 official visitors in the month of June. Starting this weekend, they'll have, looks like, 3 guys in on official visits, including a quarterback from Texas by the name of Haynes King. They've got a safety from up in Washington, D.C. It's scheduled to come in as well, and a kid from over in North Carolina, an athlete who's supposed to come in for an official visit. Prospect camps are going on right now, so you're going to have a couple hundred kids on your campus every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Some of those guys you know you definitely want, and they'll kind of walk around in their slides and pose pretty good for you. And then some other guys that are suspects that you want to evaluate more, and you want to determine how hard you're going to pursue them. And then there'll be some guys pop up out of the blue that you didn't know about that you'll end up maybe offering. And we saw that last week with a kid out of Haywood County in West Tennessee. And then you're also working on your class of 2021, 22, and 23. We're seeing schools offer guys in the class of 2023 on a pretty regular basis. Tennessee's offering a lot of 21, 22 guys coming out of camp. So June has become an extremely important month in recruiting because you're finalizing your board for your class of 2020. You're trying to get a jump start on 21 and 22, and then you're constantly evaluating guys that maybe you don't know a whole lot about that you've had earmarked now, and it's guys you really want to work with hands-on and see whether they're the right fit for your program. So I contend June has become the biggest and most important month in recruiting with the way the calendar has changed.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs. His outstanding website is volquest.com.
Yes, Brent, I know every school in the SEC, I guess, can determine if they want to sell alcohol. Has Tennessee determined if that's what they're going to do? And what do you think, what kind of effect do you think that'll have, if any, at all?
Well, you know, I think every school is going to take it, you know, at a different pace. I think LSU is going to hit it running right out of the gate. I think they have a plan in place, and I expect them to certainly sell alcohol in their stadium, in all areas of the stadium throughout the fall. Georgia's going to do it in some premium seating areas only. Auburn and Alabama have come out and said no. Kentucky's come out and said they're not going to do it. I think Tennessee's got a plan in place, but it's not just the athletic department's decision. You're going to have the university legal people and the university brass involved, and then it's undetermined, depending on how you interpret the legislation on whether or not they've got to get any kind of approval out of the legislation as well. A couple of months ago, the legislation approved the selling of alcohol on campus for non-UT sporting events, such as concerts, truck pulls and monster trucks and all those, wrestling and all those different things that come into the venues. So that's been approved. The question is, do they have to get a separate approval for the university to sell at a sporting event? And I think that's something that everybody's working through with the legislation. So will it be ready to go September 1? I don't know about that. We'll see where Philip Fulmer and the administration are in terms of how quickly they push to get through. I think they've done all the market analysis. They've looked at it from a financial standpoint and have a plan in place or in mind put together if that's the direction that they go. I would venture a guess that ultimately they will end up doing it. The question is, when are they going to end up doing it?
So what's the expectations for Coach Pruitt and his staff going into the season where, everyone would be satisfied, I guess, in the administration because they need to take the next step? Where is that before someone says, oh, he's on the hot seat after this upcoming season?
Well, some fans are going to put him on the hot seat regardless.
But, you're right.
That's the world we live in. Yeah. But, the expectations for this team to get to postseason play. Gotcha. So they need to get to a bowl game. They were close last year, had an opportunity twice to get that sixth win, got manhandled against Missouri, got manhandled against Vanderbilt. So, at minimal, you're going to get to postseason play, get to a bowl game. I think for the administration standpoint, if you're Philip Fulmer as an old football coach, I think that you look at it as to how much does this team improve throughout the season. I think one of the disappointing things about last year is you were not playing your best football at the end of the year. Now, why was that? That's the evaluation Jeremy Pruitt's got to make. Was that, did you beat them up too much? Were they wore out? Did your lack of depth really show up? Should you have played more people, developed better depth? Why were your two worst games or two of your worst games at the end of the year against two teams that you had a chance to be competitive and beat? I'm not talking about Alabama, but I mean Missouri and Vanderbilt, you weren't competitive against those guys the way that you needed to be. So I think those are the things that if you're Philip Fulmer, you're looking for. How much does this team improve, not only from last year to this year, but how much do they improve throughout this season as well, I think is part of your evaluation. But at the minimum baseline, I think you're expecting this team to be in a bowl game somewhere, somehow at the end of the season.
Our guest from VolQuest.com is Brent Hubbs. More with Brent coming up in just a moment. 8:28 the time. The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We're coming right back. 8:34, 104.5 the Zone. The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop in any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with instant games today. Our friend Brent Hubbs is on the line with us from VolQuest.com. You want to know about Tennessee, VolQuest.com, the place to go.
Well, Brent, this is TP time, and that is the transfer portal time. And, you know, I was listening to Coach Pruitt there in Destin talk about his view on the transfer portal. I don't know if he's the majority or the minority on that issue, but what was his view, I guess, tell our listeners, and then compared to, let's say, some of the other coaches' views that were a little bit different on the transfer portal?
Well, I mean, it's not going away, I think, is the bottom line,
right,
with everybody out there. And it's one of those things where when it was created, I think a lot of people didn't take into account the information that would get out there, and who was going in the portal, who was not going in the portal. And, you know, I think the hardest thing is, you know, you got a lot of kids who went in the portal who haven't found a place to play. And I think that's been the eye opener should be the eye opener for a lot of people out there, is, you know, that a lot of players entered the portal thinking that, you know, their phone was going to ring, they're going to get, you know, a lot of interest from a lot of places, and they didn't. And so we'll see, you know, ultimately if it slows down transfers. My guess is no. You know, I think kids are still going to move around and jump around, and there'll be enough guys who have success transferring to other schools. That's been the case throughout the years. And I think we live in a culture and a society where a lot of guys want to move around. A lot of people don't want to stick things out. And I think that's just part of it, and the way it will continue to go.
Mm. Are there any new players from Tennessee on the portal?
Nope. Nobody's new in the portal. You know, I think at this point in time, it's pretty much slowed down for everybody around the country in terms of football. Now, maybe a spring sport person jumps in now that their season has come to the close. We've seen that happen with the Lady Vol softball program, and we'll see if that happens with, you know, the men's baseball program now that their season is over. But from a football standpoint, you know, if you're going to transfer and go somewhere, you need to be there for their summer workouts. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing that, you know, except for a couple of extenuating cases, we're seeing that slow down this time of year. I mean, Texas just had a kid leave who never played a down. He got there in January, and he's transferred out to go back to Los Angeles. So you have some circumstances like that. But in most cases, if somebody's going to transfer, they were going to make that transfer happen this past month and get somewhere and get in the summer workout plan. And, you know, try to have an effort to play in the fall if they're going to be eligible immediately. Now, the other question is, where's the NCAA on immediate eligibility for underclassmen? We obviously know what's going to happen if you're a grad transfer, but Tennessee's still waiting to hear on Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs. They've still not heard anything back from the NCAA on that. That appeal's been in the NCAA's hands since, you know, February, late February, and the waiting game continues there. So the rhyme or reason of the rulings of the NCAA seem to make no sense. So, but we'll see what kind of results Tennessee gets from those two guys. Those two are very important, particularly Solomon, very important for Tennessee to get to that 6-win plateau and to get to a bowl game. They need Aubrey Solomon eligible this fall.
Speaking of Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com, and I'm telling you, if you're not a subscriber to VolQuest, you might want to consider it. Great content for Tennessee football, basketball, yes, baseball. And also podcast roundtables. You get to see a tanned and trim Brent Hubbs. You know, just why wouldn't you want to be on VolQuest.com? But Brent, Sirian,
trust me, it's not to see a tanned Brent Hubbs. I can promise you that.
Brent, I thought one of the better items this week that you guys had, good piece by Jesse Symington on strength coach Craig Fitzgerald. And yeah, I always joke that, you know, 'tis the season to bring up the strength coach, but it's a really good story. And I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you'll read it and get pretty excited about it.
Well, I appreciate, you know, Coach Fitzgerald's candor about things in the story, you know, just about, you know, why he stayed at Tennessee, unfinished business here. He obviously had a chance to go to Maryland, why he came back to the college game. And what he's trying to get, you know, get accomplished here, and kind of how they go about it. You know, it's really funny. He talks about kind of how that position has grown in his career from a salary standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these guys have become rock stars out there. Strength coaches have, whereas, you know, nobody knew who John Stuckey was in the 90s when Tennessee was producing a bunch of first round draft picks. He was just a behind the scenes guy, but you know, because of their antics on the sidelines, a lot of strength coaches have become household names and are very much in the focal point. But, you know, I think what you learn about Coach Fitzgerald is he just, you know, loves to go to work every day. And really enjoys working with the kids and knows that they still have a ways to go. I mean, this is not going to be, they're not going to suddenly be fixed at the end of this summer, but the continuity from last year to this year, I think, is very important for this football team. I think it will help the development of some freshmen from a year ago, some upperclassmen who are in a contract year, if you will, like a Daryl Taylor. I think having the same voice, for more than a year as a strength coach is very important for this program. That's why I believe that keeping Kit Fitzgerald and preventing him from going to Maryland was a huge recruiting win for Jeremy Pruitt this winter.
Brent, you know, we're seeing it now that SEC ADs, Power 5 ADs, are really beefing up their schedules for football down the line, anticipating that the playoff is going to expand to 8 and understanding that strength of schedule is really important. I know Tennessee, for the most part, has had a philosophy on their 4 out-of-conference games that you get 2 tough ones and probably 2 winnable ones. But what's Phil Fulmer's plan?
Well, I think you got a couple of other things that are interesting in scheduling that's not just dealing with the competition standpoint. I think you're looking at ticket sales. And I think that, you know, with every game on TV, you're seeing schools. I mean, Tennessee's got a season pass for football that they've never had before. I read somewhere where Florida's doing a non-conference deal that they're selling some games for $100, and you get some food and snacks to go with it, trying to package it up for some of their non-conference stuff to start the year. I think the challenge the ADs have out there with the big TV contracts and the fact that every game's on television, how do you get them to your stadium? Okay, well, they're probably not going to come watch you play the Sisters of the Poor, you know, at $75, $80 a ticket. So you're going to have to beef up that home schedule. And I think you're seeing some teams do that. I think you'll see Tennessee do that. They've got Oklahoma with a home and home. They've got Nebraska out there. I think you'll see them expand that moving forward with some big names. And I don't think you're going to see them playing, you know, with Jerry's World in Dallas or a bunch of neutral site games. I think they want home and home games because it's important that you get a big name Power 5 school into your facility for ticket sales as much as it is strength of schedule and you know, potential expanded playoff, teams and all that kind of stuff. So I think the big, you know, just as big as how do you get people into seats. And one way you get people into seats is you play better competition at home. I'll look for Tennessee and Phillip Fulmer to try to do that moving forward.
Brent, great as always. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, VolQuest.com, place for great info when it comes to Tennessee. Brent Hubbs joins us every Wednesday morning.